He kind of started all the plants growing, and he started people. Well, I guess he's kind of big and fat. He can see us whatever we do. Whatever we do, he has such powerful eyes. He doesn't have millions and thousands and billions. And he can still see us when we're bad.
He could be sitting on the table right now, but you can't see him.
He can't be everywhere at once doing everything for everybody. Everybody can't get what they want.
Welcome to the live broadcast today, October 2nd, 2023. My name is David Stovenel. The title for today's broadcast is The Gospel of John, Chapter 13, and the Problems of Coding. I invite each and every one of you to frequently visit my website, genuinechristianitynow.com, to study and read the articles about current events. They are articles that, quite frankly, a lot of people do not post or are aware of that have to do with how devious, for example, King Charles III is and his coterie of subordinates and how negatively they are affecting all of your lives. This is a live broadcast, and it is a call-in talk radio show, and the call-in number is 608-433-9306, and I invite your calls throughout the hour, and you can express whatever's on your heart. It isn't necessary to stay specifically on the subject matter that I introduce. But once again, today we'll be talking about the problems of coding after I read chapter 13 in the Gospel of John. And I'm reading chapter 13 as the colloquy develops almost to the end of chapter 13. And then I will continue next week into the finish of chapter 13 and into and completing chapter 14 next Monday. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was, leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And I'm stopping at that point in order to not continue into the colloquy at an impertinent time. I'll continue next Monday with the reading of the finish of chapter 13 and into and completing chapter 14. Now, the title for today's broadcast is The Gospel of John, Chapter 13, and the Problems of Coding. Now, the word coding is a very interesting word, and it has changed. The definition has changed in terms of what the public mind perceives and understands it to mean now, as opposed to 50 years ago and 100 years ago. And this happens with several different words in language. And no one made that distinction more succinctly than the man that received the pejorative moniker Slick Willie when he said it depends on what is. So, coding today in the public mind essentially means those that are proficient and adept with the use of the computer in building their own network, their own website, and that type of thing. Well, as you would all be well aware, those of you that have studied the recent past history, in other words, for example, the 20th century, coding was something that an organization, whether it be a company or, but especially and more importantly, a government organization, in order to keep something from people that they did not want to know what they were saying. So in England, there was Bletchley Park during World War II, and that organization was housed with people that were called code breakers. Now, obviously, there would be a different perception of what the word code meant then, because obviously someone that's, for example, building a website isn't building a website in order to break something. They're building a website in order to construct something, even though it is not in the physical. It is in the electronic sphere, in the ether zone, if you will. So the meaning has changed, and it's very, very important to realize and understand that, because each and every one of you that is listening and everyone else throughout the world has been codified by powerful institutions. One of the most graphic examples is the Social Security number. If you were born in a hospital, you receive a Social Security number before you leave the hospital, even though you're not of majority age or the age of reason where you get to reject that or accept that. It's imposed on you. There are those that argue that it is a form of enslavement that is similar to what the German governing system imposed with, incidentally, IBM, which was based in the United States of America, International Business Management, with a number that was tattooed on someone when they were arrested. And they started out arresting Catholic priests and gypsies and criminals, of course, people that had perpetrated criminal activity, Jews, among other, I think some Freemasons, but Freemasonry was rejected by the German governing system at that time. So I'm not sure. I don't have any records of whether Freemasons were arrested and put in prison, or how they were dealt with, because that's a perplexing question. But the Jehovah Witnesses, they were arrested as subversives. Several people groups were arrested and were assigned a number that was tattooed on them. So that was for two different purposes. It was for law enforcement purposes, and it was for the purposes of conclusively knowing that someone was who they identified themselves as being when required to do so. And so it was an enslavement system to have been tattooed. It was a forced labor system. That is what the prisons were, the concentration camps, as we know them, were. It was an enslavement system, and it was graphic. It was carried on the body when they were forced to have a tattoo. Now, the Social Security number is even more insidious, because it is an enslavement system, and it's an electronic enslavement system. So it isn't visible, and it's more difficult to crack that code for someone that is being enslaved. I'm trying to sound an alarm here. As a genuine Christian, I'm trying to sound an alarm. And the two people groups that are being most persecuted now, that are sounding the alarm and have been sounding the alarm, are genuine Christians and Jews. They're the most despised people now, because we tell the truth. When I say Jews, I'm not speaking of political maneuvering. I'm not speaking of personal relationships in terms of telling the truth. I'm speaking about the specific subject matter of knowing and understanding how insidious coding is, because it's not speaking the truth. It's going behind someone's back and enslaving them. This is serious. Now, how did I come to a knowledge of understanding how insidious and how terrible coding is? Well, that's interesting. It was several years after I was coded in a negative profile, a very vicious, slanderous negative profile. Upon my discharge, with an honorable discharge from the United States Army many years ago. And during the event of leaving the military, there's a lot of paperwork that is completed and signed and so forth, having to do with questions about being healthier, ill, questions about whether you are a subversive or loyal to the United States, questions about several different subject matter, a lot of different subject matter. And then, subjectively, it's decided what your code will be on a document called the DD-214. This document for military people that are separating from the military and re-entering civilian life is the passport back to civilian life from the military. And even though I'm talking about what happened to me a long time ago, this happens to everyone that's in the military, in law enforcement, in the Secret Service. Anyone that is in service of any kind within the government. And as you all know, pluribus unum is on the official seal, and that means out of the many, one. So that means everyone is profiled in code on at least one significant document. Now, what was discovered during litigation was that 80% of the personnel that had served were separated from the service subjectively. Now, mind you, subjectively, someone within a position of authority, whether it be obviously in the administrative level, within the administration, within the military, that are following orders that they have imposed on them. 80% of the separation codes are negative. They're slanderous. They're libelous. I'm sounding an alarm here. And incidentally, for those of you that have responded as the result of the class action lawsuit that I've initiated and am developing at this time, for those of you that have gotten in contact with me, I thank you. And it's necessary for many more of you to become aware of the fact that you are involved in an enslavement system as a result of this nefarious negative coding about your performance and personality while you served with honor in the service. My website is genuinechristianitynow.com. For those of you, especially veterans, that have been discriminated against when you're applying for jobs, that's the primary way that you are slighted after you return to civilian life. When someone when you make application at a significant position and you're qualified, well qualified for it, and you don't get hired, it's because of a negative coding on your DD-214 if you were in the Army. The call-in number is 608-433-9306. But anyway, at my website, genuinechristianitynow.com, I'm inviting emails from former military people that know and have proof they have been discriminated against when applying for work in fields that they're well qualified for and have not been hired for ostensibly reasons of someone being more qualified or more affirmative action check boxes get checked or whatever reason. I've identified the primary reason, and that is that this slanderous, libelous profiling in code is the primary reason. Now, there's a man that will be interviewing me about this on the 12th, and his website is theamericanawakening.org. His name is Michael Herzog, and that interview will be on the 12th of October between 12 and 1, and I'm not sure if it's Central Time or not, so you have to go to theamericanawakening.org in order to be able to listen in on that interview. He's a great interviewer and a great broadcaster. So this is picking up steam already. And once again, veterans, primarily veterans, but anyone, an active duty police officer, an active duty CIA man, you are all tagged with a number if you have a Social Security number. And that begins the profiling of your character and your personality and your performance. And it's in code. It's in code so that you have to do an extraordinary amount of work to dig out this nefarious, slanderous, libelous information that's being perpetrated behind your backs. I'm sounding the alarm. I'm just inviting listeners to become involved. Check out the facts about this. This is not hyperbole. And when this lawsuit, when this class action lawsuit is successful, and it will be, because everything I'm saying is accurate and honest and true, it will be successful, and it won't be buried. It won't be shoved under the rug like so many things are, because when veterans are abused by the civilians that we served in protecting and defending as a part of our overall government organization with full hearts, and just as a digression, I was and remain a conscientious objector to unjust warfare, officially. So when you watch Rambo one too many times over the years and get programmed into your mind that veterans are homicidal maniacs, you have to accept the fact that that is negative programming in your mind. And breaking down that falsehood, that category of the mind that is not reality. Because the people group that are most opposed to unjust warfare are the veterans. That's who I speak for. And that's what I am. I'm a veteran. All veterans have one thing above everything else in common. All veterans are veterans. And so we are all coded. Now, here's the dicey part of this broadcast with the problems of coding. 20% of the profiles are golden boy profiles. They're the good guy. So in other words, it's a genocidal program against 80% of the veterans in this nation. It's a program to discriminate against 80% of the veterans throughout our lives. And who is it that does a lot of the discriminating? It's the 20% that are the golden boys that accede to power, because the veterans must be divided in order for this dishonesty to be able to be perpetrated. And for example, one of the key people that was one of the golden boys until he passed away recently was John McCain, who was a Republican. He knew about this coding, this negative coding system very early on in his political career, since the early 1990s, actually. Now, he's passed away now. So on the Republican side, the Republicans have been aware of this and know about this since the 1990s. What about the Democrats? Well, yeah, they've known about it too because of litigation where this literally went to the Supreme Court, and it was a several years effort by a man named Edwin Crosby III. And so he was in a presentation showing documents and paperwork from his litigation when he was passed over for less qualified people, when there were three openings in a civil service job after he was separated from the service with an honorable discharge from the Air Force, incidentally. And so John McCain was one of the people in the room. Another one was a woman, a lawyer named Hughes. Her last name was Hughes, you know, like in Hughes Aircraft. Incidentally, during the later years, after Howard Hughes was no longer alive, Hughes Aircraft went into medical care. So that's a connection there, but that's a side issue. Anyway, someone that is very, very significant today was also in that room that has been aware of this nefarious, I don't even know how to describe it in words without using cuss words, which I won't do. But this nefarious criminal activity is what I'll call it, against veterans, was Joe Biden, was in that room when Edwin Crosby III displayed documents from his litigation where he discovered how this swindle was being perpetrated at that time, and not only continues to be perpetrated now, but now it's all encompassing. It isn't just veterans. That's just that veterans were the easy target at separation in this coding system that incidentally was initiated in 1956. That's how long these swindlers have been at this, in order to enslave you and to enslave me, to enslave each and every one of your families, to enslave my family, and to ultimately to crush American independence, American sovereignty within our Congress and within our government system. Swindlers have almost complete control over key offices now. So it's an uphill fight all the way. It's an uphill climb in the intellectual and the spiritual realms now. A lot of prayer is needed. I thank each and every one of you that have prayed for my safety and my effectiveness. I very much thank you. Your emails are just, I couldn't go on without them, because this is difficult. It's difficult to tell on some of the most powerful people in the world that are, and get this now, and this has to do with this coding system also, that are manufacturers of weapons of warfare that have circumvented our government system and pocketing the money by silencing all of the alarms, the legislative alarms that would have prevented from weapons of warfare being distributed throughout the world. This is serious, and this is another litigation from another day that I'll discuss throughout this month. At the end of this month, I have to take a hiatus because I'm running behind primarily on my efforts to grow the number of veterans active in the litigation of the class action lawsuit that I'm developing. No one can do everything all at the same time. So at the end of this month, you'll just have to rely on what is in this, primarily these broadcasts during October, because we will not be defeated and we will not be silenced, because swindlers deserve no respect. No respect. Turn your back on Joe Biden. Joe Biden is a swindler. He's known about this negative coding of veterans since the 1990s. When he walks into a room, turn your back. Turn your back on him. He does not deserve any respect. There are many others as well. There are many others. But he is primary. This is obviously one of the key reasons why he's in the position he's in right now, is because he was so good at keeping a secret that negatively affects all of the veterans in the United States of America. How could it be that someone with 5 deferments from serving the United States of America, how could it be that he could climb to a position of power and authority that he has right now? That's an important, valid question to ask. Keeping secrets contains power within it. And there are certain things that are definitely better left unsaid when it comes to personal or private communications between diplomats, when tensions are as high as they are worldwide right now. There's no question about it. Everything about secrecy is not a bad thing. But here's an answer. Here's actually the answer to the question I just asked. Joe Biden has reached the position he's reached not because of what he has done, because what he has done is so tepid it doesn't even exist. It's because of what he has not done. He has not brought correction regarding the problems of coding against all of the American people in general by targeting veterans in particular. If you're okay with that, ladies and gentlemen, I feel sorry for our entire nation, because it will collapse into a ruthless, murderous dictatorship like the world has not ever seen. If you don't tell your friends and neighbors what I'm alerting you to, or go to my website, genuinechristianitynow.com, and pass along to those you care about this broadcast, which gets placed on my website at the end of the broadcast, at the end of the day here, so it can be forwarded to anyone that you would care to inform about this egregious situation that has been going on since the mid-1950s. This coding system must be eliminated, and all of those that have profited from this coding system that are within the political machinery or within any part of the government that have went along to get along with this need to be eliminated from their public positions, because they're betrayers of the public trust. And treason is nasty. Treason is not good. It's evil. So those that are in the system that are ignorant of what I've just described and am describing, that are unaware of how nasty, of how vicious, slanderous, and libelous coding against veterans is, if you just now became aware of it and you repent from doing what you've been doing in terms of vetoing, of negativing veterans with a rubber stamp because it's so ingrained within the management system of the swindlers now, then you can repent of that and stand up against it by bringing facts and figures forward publicly and stand against this evil, because this is evil. This is anti-American, it's anti-Christian, it's anti-Jewish, it's anti-atheist, it's every American stands to lose as this continues. And when it is discontinued, when the coding of people's lives is discontinued, then property and personal information begins to be recovered. This entire effort of this broadcast is called Operation Restore Christian America. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that there's a unanimous Supreme Court opinion, a decision that has never been overturned, that declared that culturally America is a Christian nation? So everyone, including Jews, because there are Jews that hate Christians and hate Christianity, there are also Jews that have a great deal of consideration for and respect of genuine Christians, and even quasi-Christians, even though they shouldn't, because it's an either-or thing. Christianity, you either are or you are not. But anyway, this vicious, insidious discrimination must be stopped. And what it requires is public participation. Each and every one of you that are listening to the broadcast here, prayerfully consider participating and telling others about this nasty coding system that enslaves you. It enslaves me. It must be terminated. It must be erased. The entire coding system must be eliminated. That doesn't mean let everyone out of prison and everyone is happy or it also does not mean that veterans get placed on a pedestal of some sort because they're better than other people, or they've been oppressed for all their lives, or they're just a pity party. No, that isn't what it means. It means that the institutionalized discrimination is removed, so honorable men especially, but also the few honorable women that receive honorable discharges, when they apply for a job they're qualified for, are hired. Is that too much to ask? No, it's the least. After someone serves in the military, which is not easy, right from the start, it is not easy. It is very, very difficult. The discipline and the demands on one's life are intense. It is very, very difficult. The price that is paid by those that have served deserves respect enough to be considered without having a negative profile placed in between the employer and the veteran. I wish I knew how to make this argument more clearly and more plainly. But the way for you, dear listeners, to check this out for yourself is to locate the paperwork, the websites that are still being maintained, even though Edwin Crosby III, Lord rest his soul, has passed away already, or listen to the interview that is placed on my website. If you go to genuinechristianitynow.com and then go to the search bar and type in Fred Smart - Injustice Exposed, and listen to the 1.5-hour interview where Fred Smart interviewed two veterans, primarily Edwin Crosby III, because he was the man that was cheated out of the job and initiated litigation, who found out about this nasty coding system that is an enslavement system. The call-in number is 608-433-9306. Any veterans that would like to disagree with me or agree with me or have comments that might have a different perspective, you would be the first to be accepted on air to talk about it. Once again, on the 12th of October, between 12 and 1, I'll be on interviewed by Michael Herzog about this perplexing problem. And his website is theamericanawakening.org. The problem is this. The 20% Golden Boys. Now, John McCain is remembered as being a prisoner of war, of having, I think it was both of his arms broken when he ejected from his aircraft that was shot down over North Vietnam. And then he went on to serve in the United States federal government for several years, until his death, actually. And the perception of John McCain is rather negative, and that he was a songbird while he was in what was called the Hanoi Hilton, the ruthless prison where the prisoners were tortured, and some of the prisoners that were there when he was there called him the songbird because he didn't get the torture that they received from the proxy warriors, the North Vietnamese communist proxy warriors that were heavily financed and supplied with weapons of warfare from Russia. So anyway, he was not well thought of by his peers, but he did serve in the service. There's no question about that. But he's not what he's thought of as a golden boy that got off easy compared to them, which was true. Obviously, he had a life that was full of pain because of his wartime injuries and so forth. But he definitely was not discriminated against in his ambition. And one of the most significant things that he did against his own party, he was a Republican, was when this power grab by the federal government called Obamacare, which had nothing to do with care. It had to do with destroying care, actually. But this power grab by the Democrats primarily, but the federal government in general, John, it, the vote came down to whether John McCain would vote for or against this nasty federal government power grab. And it could have been blocked, and he voted against the Republicans blocking this, and so it passed into law. So he wasn't a nice man. He didn't have loyalty to the Republican Party, and I'm not a party member. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I might begin voting again, but I haven't voted for several years because the Republicans and the Democrats do not deserve anyone's vote. They don't. Primarily, the Republicans and the Democrats are why we are in this position that we are in today, and a lot of it has to do with the problems of coding. I'm not demeaning people that are highly proficient with the use of a computer to build their empires and etc. That coding is today's definition of the word coding. I have to repeat this to make this distinction. Otherwise, there will be people that are proficient within that definition that will have resentment against me. No, that's not it. The computer system, the website, the World Wide Web, is a system, an invention, and a system where information can be exchanged, and that is a good thing. And it requires people with the skills to code in order to build websites, etc. I get it. I'm not an expert on all that. That's for younger people. I'd like to know how to do it well, but I don't. And I can live with that. I'm talking about the old school coding, when coding was what the enemy did to you. So in the context of what I'm saying, Joe Biden, John McCain, and Ms. Hughes, in that meeting, alleged meeting by Edwin Crosby III, where he showed them proof of discrimination, of institutionalized discrimination by this coding system. And this is the computer coding by nefarious bad actors. See, there are bad actors in every pursuit of life except within genuine Christianity. Everything else, there are bad actors. So that distinction is necessary, though, so that the weeds can, and here's a metaphor, so the weeds can get pulled out of the garden. This is a weed that must be completely eliminated. The problems of coding, the coding of veterans in their character, in their performance while they are in active service, because bad actors can code a negative profile in code that carries with them throughout their entire life. And it's a blight and it's a curse. Incidentally, also, because of the mixing up I wish I could think of a better word, of blending together health care with military administrative laws and rules ruins everything, because health care does not belong in precise orders and actions, or stand down from actions, such as unjust warfare. it's important to realize that there are two sides of every argument, and the argument for more war by people that are identified as neocons. And some of the people, some of the intellectuals that have traced it back to who was primarily responsible for the growth of neoconism was a Jew named Leo Strauss from the University of Chicago. And so that's where neocons and neoconisms are traced back to as one of the primary sources of proponents of neoconism. So we don't want more wars that are unjust, right? Right? I mean, that's a no-brainer. So how many just wars have there ever been or ever could be? The only just war that could ever exist would be a spiritual war that the good guy wins. Because in every kinetic action, innocent people are injured and killed. How is that just? It's not. It's not. Innocent people are wounded and killed in every kinetic action that's ordered by some organized entity, whether it's called a government or a gang on a street corner, whatever is kinetic. And every one of them, there is an innocent that is killed or injured. That's unjust. The only just war is kept in the spiritual realm. Spiritual warfare is what is necessary. The most effective spiritual warfare, according to the church leaders and according to Jesus, is fasting and prayer. So no one gets killed and no one gets injured when a man is fasting and in prayer, appealing to the Lord of all heaven and all earth, that his will be done on earth. Why do you think he sent his son? Why do you think he sent Jesus? Now, Jesus did not talk in code. They were called parables. He talked in a language that was very, very difficult to understand unless it was explored and studied on a regular basis with a full heart. Prayer first, asking Lord Holy Ghost to give you the insight of what is written in the scriptures. I'm a KJV only in order that bad actors cannot confuse issues. KJV only. In the English language. I'm not Italian. I'm not English, I'm not English, but American English is our accepted language here in this nation as the dominant language. That's why I say KJV only. If someone brought a New Testament to my home and it was written in Arabic, Farsi, for example, I wouldn't know where to begin or end, or Greek or Hebrew. No, American English is the standard, and the KJV is the standard for the American people. If that can be accepted, great.